We hear again from the appointed gospel reading of Luke 4. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. In the name of Jesus, amen. How does one make himself known? We all do things to reveal who we are to others. Even the guy at the park wears a sweatshirt of his favorite team. So at least I get to know a little about him, that he likes football, and maybe even that he's from Pennsylvania, if a Steelers sweatshirt is any indication. But we know that's not really knowing him, is it? So how do you really find out about someone, to know them? One way is to speak in what the philosophers called universals. This way we find out facts about a person and fit him into the form that fits those facts. The guy in the park wore a Pittsburgh Steelers shirt, so I can say certain things. I could say what color his skin is. But only a racist thinks that skin color defines a person. Only a racist would say that because a man's skin is one color or another, you now know whether or not he has an honorable character. And we can even think about how Martin Luther King Jr. once gave us that great quote, that people should be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. So somehow we know that we will not know a person by knowing some universals. What color the skin? What's the last name? Where was he born? We can know all sorts of things about a person without knowing him at all. So how do we really know someone? You could know all sorts of things about me. Color of skin, weight, height, city of birth maybe, whether or not I've had the mumps. Knowing all this, would you know me? What we get to see is that we are given to be a speaking people. Conversation. Words. By speaking words to you of, say, hatred, I could let you know that I'm no friend. Don't trust me. By telling you words of kindness, of willingness to be with you and help, I can let you know who I am, that I'm a friend. By telling you a conflict I went through, maybe a sickness, or maybe someone else telling of a broken friendship, what is being told is my pain, or the other person's pain, where we're weak, where we need a friend's kind words, his encouragement. So we are a speaking, talking people, created to give words as gifts, knowing each other by the words out of our mouths. So much so that even when someone is deaf, they still converse in words through sign language. God created us this way. He created us to hear words, to speak them, to know each other by words. He, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, even created life and continues creating it by words. Let us, said the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a conversation they're speaking together. In this conversation, they say, let us make man in our image. And then, male and female, he created them. Genesis 1:26. The conversing God, the speaking God, the talking God, who creates by words, created us in his image, that we, created by the Word, would be people of the Word, people of conversation. Luke 4:20. And Jesus rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What does that mean, to fulfill it in their hearing? Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. But that doesn't fully capture what Jesus said in the Greek. Our translation has softened it. In the Greek, Jesus more literally said, "Today this scripture is being made full into your ears." There's no verb of hearing here. It's the noun. It's your ears, your eardrums. Our Lord is telling these people in Nazareth that now, on this day, him standing in front of them, he is not just giving information about himself. He's not just giving them a bunch of principles or universals, but he is putting something into their ears. He's filling their ears up with his words. What are the words? The words of Jesus. Because they're the words that he had already given by the prophets in the time of the Old Testament. But now, in this time, on this day, he's accomplishing these words into their ears. They are the words that he, Jesus, has been anointed by the Holy Spirit to proclaim to sinners. It's the gospel, the forgiveness of sins to all who are emptied out in spirit. So that means, if you're a sinner, Jesus is going to shove words into your ears. And because those words are the gospel, he's going to make your ears full of the forgiveness of sins. The words are that Jesus has been sent to proclaim release to the captives. Are you captive? Captive to your fear because before God, you're a sinner? Are you captive to the temptations of the world, looking for your fulfillment in the wisdom, the words of the world, looking for your fulfillment in other things? Are you captive to the devil? Does he bring doubt into your conscience so that you question the grace of God for you? We're all captive. That's our sinful flesh. And we cannot free ourselves from this captivity. Jesus is sent to proclaim release to the captives. He puts words into our ears. He has his words preached in the church. But those words do no good but that they strike our eardrums. And in that, Jesus is accomplishing all his gifts this day into our ears. "Today this scripture is being made full into your ears," said Jesus. He does it to you and me. He makes himself known to us. Not just facts about him, universals, principles, whatever. He makes himself known to us in his salvation, his grace. He doesn't want us just to know him by some set of universals. They can be true. God is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. God is all-present. He's infinite, eternal. All that is true. But it does the sinner no good. It's the hidden God, we might say. The God who can be known by nature and by our own reason and by the law written on the heart, but it does the sinner no good. For the all-powerful, all-knowing, infinite God is still hidden. In that, we still don't know him in his grace. Jesus makes himself known as a person to you and me, not just by his universal characteristics, not just by his attributes, all-knowing, all-powerful, merciful, forgiving. This is all true, but I need to hear him say it. He's a conversing God. He made us to be conversing people. I need him to shove words into my ears. I need him to make those words fall into my ears, to accomplish them in my ears, so that they cleanse my conscience and create in me a new heart. So Jesus speaks. He draws us into the conversation. He gathers sinners, you and me, and our families to his church to hear the preaching. Not because the pastor is particularly effective. He's probably not. Not because the pastor can be entertaining or motivating. Who cares? But because Jesus gave his scriptures to be preached. And in that preaching, he delivers himself and all his gifts to the sinner, accomplishing it into our ears. Now we know, now you know, Jesus, the one who speaks to you in his gospel, who converses with you, who binds you to himself in the friendship and companionship of a sinner cleansed of all sin and holding tightly to his words, for they are words of life into your ears. By those words into your ears, he is the crucified one brought to you and made yours. By those words into your ears, your oppression is lifted. Your captivity is over, for he was appointed by God and anointed by the prophet John to go to the cross to atone for your sins and then to preach that cross into the ears of those who are poor in spirit. And by those words into your ears, into my ears, Paul says in our text from 1 Corinthians 12, Jesus binds us together as members of his church, which is, Paul says, the body of Christ. So this gives us our callings, our vocations toward one another, to serve each other with gifts God gives to each of us, to speak words of giftedness to each other, to care for one another, and where one suffers, to be with him in his suffering, where another rejoices, to rejoice with that one. Jesus gives his words into our ears, and then by our mouths, he gives these words to our brothers and sisters in the church, as he gives us to build up one another in the gospel, forgiving one another and rejoicing in all his gifts. In the name of Jesus, amen.